Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 200-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA to receive a free Tracker Bravo with any purchase. And by LegalZoom. LegalZoom's helped more than a million people with DBAs, LLCs, incorporation, and more. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. To another episode of All About Android. This is episode number 313, recorded Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yo, I like how you have your S Pen behind your ear.
Well, I need it so I can grab it and, you know, just start S Penning away.
So there's no mount on the side of the the Tab S3 for the S Pen. So the mount is your ear.
Hey, Flo, look at this.
What? No! Tony Hannity's, of course, Lazy Tech Tony.
Boom.
On Twitter, Lazy Tech Guys. How's it going, Tony?
Great. How are you?
Awesome. Tell us what you're showing off there.
This is the Surface Pro 4. This has been in Microsoft.
It was the Android version.
Right, sure. Yeah. magnets.
The pen just snaps to the side. Okay.
Hold on. I think there's a magnet on the back. This will go on.
I mean, there's a clip on the thing. You'd think that there would be a clip somewhere or something.
Mine has a clip, too.
So that's just for pockets, though, right?
Well, it does magnetize right here.
On the front of the keyboard? No, it doesn't.
Oh, right there. No.
This one's...
That's right handy.
How much is this one, though? Like, retail price? It's probably significantly...
I think it was $6.99.
Yeah, it's significantly less expensive. So if you don't want a full-on PC...
Well, it's $6.99, not including the... keyboard.
Okay, well, this is $9.99, not including the keyboard.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
that's Windows 10.
Right. And that's the
Android.
But magnet. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, hey,
love Android.
That extra $300, it's got to go somewhere. Exactly. Apparently, it went to the magnet. that's handy. It's nice to be able to snap it.
Yeah, it is. Samsung.
And when you don't have it, you've got your ears.
You just always behind have your ear, so...
Good to have you back.
It's great to be back. Although I am going behind the you know of Miriam and Mark,
mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard. But I'll try and keep up.
You'll be
with
okay.
All of them. We'll do this.
You'll be okay.
Okay,
we got you. You always do awesome, and we appreciate you coming in. We have a lot ish. Kind of, not really. Stuff to talk about.
At least you're honest.
Yes, you can't see. We set the expectations low.
The bar's right here.
And then we exceed that expectation.
Well, are we officially in the pre-IO quiet period now? Or
we're in the
something
we're in
quiet
the
period.
We're in the
post. We know that
the
Samsung Galaxy S8 exists. Phase pre. Anyone knows anything about it? Phase.
All right, that makes sense. I'll go with that.
We do know one thing, which we'll get to soon.
What?
We'll get to it soon.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to it soon.
That's
we gotta
right.
keep you waiting
because
we told you it was a light show.
It's like you were teasing our show to us, even though we put it all together.
You put it together.
But for these guys, that's a tease.
Well, so what are we going to be talking about? Multiple accounts on Google Home. I think Google
finally.
Home
oh my God.
Kind of falls
finally.
Under the purview of this show.
Yes, it absolutely it does. How many of us here have one?
What?
I have Alexa.
Tony.
What?
Yeah. Tony.
Mainly because of the multiple account issue.
And
I got the Alexa.
Well.
And I got Alexa for free. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I've been waiting for multiple accounts.
You're waiting for it to be sold in bulk at Costco.
I have
with the extra faceplates,
my mother-in-law, my son, my wife, and myself.
And wow.
We all have our own accounts, and we would all use it to a certain degree. But if we were all to use my account, then I would get Doctor Who stuff, which is fine. But then my mother-in-law would be searching for a bunch of cruise line stuff, which I have no interest in.
Right, I like cruises.
Yeah, but not in my whole feed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He doesn't want to game the system.
Yeah. And then my wife, a bunch of makeup and stuff, which you would approve of and appreciate. But yeah, I just, you know, multiple accounts, that would be great, you know. Yeah. And so
I agree.
We'll talk about it, though.
Yeah, we will. Also, the Honor H Pro or the Honor 8 Pro, depending on how you say that. YouTube TV, reassigning the Bixby button, and the greater question of will Bixby ever come out? And lots of your feedback. We got a ton of your feedback in the third section. Before we get into it, Andrew writes in, I love that like our pre-news segment at this point is people just kind of hashing out ideas on Android O. Andrew says, okay, maybe Orangina is great, so my search continues, and here's what I found. Opera cake.
Oh, C-Link, opera cake is so good.
Mouth-watering. It does look really delicious.
Oh, it's so good. How could I forget about opera cake?
But they're not going to call it opera cake because then those folks up in the Scandinavia with opera are going to get all excited because thinking they're finally going to get some due respect and they're just not going to.
This originated in France, by the way, this particular pastry. So it's
right,
it's
but the opera browser is Scandinavian.
Google loves us. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
But Opera Browser is not a delicious, tasty treat, so they should absolutely know.
No, it's not.
No. Yes, potentially it's not in more ways than
more
one.
I can't wait to get the angry email from the one Opera user who's like, you know, Opera's really the best browser. They had tabs before anybody.
I really didn't appreciate how you guys were talking about Opera at the beginning of the show. It's going to happen. It's going to be like size 16 font type or
there's
something.
Always one.
And Opera's not a bad browser. It has cool features. It's just not very used by
and Chrome. Kind of
people. When Chrome's in the room, it's hard to look anywhere else. All right. Hey, let's, Brian, do you think you're ready?
I think so.
Have we given you ample material?
We'll see.
Kind of crazy so far. Let's go to the news.
This might be a light week, but we're going through the news, so you don't have to. Stick around for Android news.
Okay.
Who wants to sift through their RSS feeds?
Yeah, we do.
Who has time for that?
Ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Who still uses RSS feeds?
I do.
Oh.
What is RSS? Anyways, really.
Wow,
you survived. If you want to look for multiple news sources at once, RSS feed. It makes Control F and Command F very easy as well.
True that.
When you're doing your news writing job. So, hey, speaking of news, which is what we're talking about right now, have you guys heard the latest Android platform numbers?
No.
The latest Android distribution numbers released for the month of April. That's this month. April showers do bring May flowers. Nougat has finally almost hit 5%. It's currently hovering at 4.9%. Everybody just golf clap for that.
Okay. Pretty close to 5.
At this point in the marshmallow era, it's only hit 4.6%.
So Nougat is beating Marshmallow at this point in time.
It is.
In Nougat's rollout as compared to Marshmallow's rollout.
It's supposed to, but considering like the minor difference in percentage.
It's pretty small. Yeah.
It's not exactly leaping
It's not
ahead.
Blowing it out of the water.
Well, April of last year, Marshmallow was closing in at 5%. And I did some research on that.
Oh.
Push that just a little bit. Yeah. Sorry. Marshmallow was closing in at 5% April 2016 of last year. So in regards to year over year, we're almost in
almost
the same,
on par.
On par, yeah.
Same ballpark.
Yeah. Interesting.
What were you going to say, Ron?
I was going to say that, you know, you might scoff at a minor amount of percentage change, but that represents thousands to tens of thousands to maybe even hundreds of thousands of users. Like those percentage numbers actually are significant numbers of users, I think. So don't be, I think, fooled by the low percentage amount because it's actually...
Yeah, so by the way, that was factually incorrect. I was just completely incorrect about that whole thing.
Wow.
At least...
There were two... Okay. If Marshmallow actually has 31.2% market share, not 4.6.
No. So
okay. Marshmallow does. Nougat has 4.6.
So,
okay. Basically,
I was confused by the notes, everyone. Yeah. And I apologize.
Sorry.
Wholeheartedly.
With Marshmallow's rollout, at this point in time,
yes.
When Marshmallow was as old as Nougat is, as old as it is now, Marshmallow was at 4.6 compared to Nougat 4.9.
So
the speed,
So no,
the speed
I'm
of the
sorry.
Rollout, the speed of the rollout is
faster.
Marginally better for Nougat, but basically kind of on par. But I mean, when you really look at it, like how many, like you said, Ron, how many Android devices are out there?
It's thousands.
You're talking, just in general, I mean, you're talking millions upon millions upon millions of these devices out there. So even a small percentage difference does equate to a large number of devices in total. It's still just, damn, why does it have to be so low along? I understand why it is. I wish that it wasn't. I wish that it was faster.
We should also mention the fact that Nougat 7.1 is hovering at 0.4%, whereas Gingerbread is still hovering at 0.9%.
So there's still Gingerbread out there.
There's more phones out there running Gingerbread than there are the absolute latest version of Android.
But that's understandable due to the emerging markets.
Sure,
that's true.
Really, though? Gingerbread, though?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, really.
The gray market, the second used market,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people go into stores, even here in the United States, and I just need a phone. And
that's fair.
Maybe it's not Gingerbread, but at least, you know, ICS or Jelly Bean.
So speaking of KitKat is at 20% right now. So mm-hmm. that's still kind of hovering around there. And Lollipop is, on 5.1, we're at 23%. And on 5.0, we're at 9%.
Yeah.
I mean,
you gotta love the numbers.
At least we get to talk about this every month, you know. I've been
leaving it out actually somewhat regularly lately.
But, well,
I think quarterly is a good check-in.
Yeah,
it's a good time period.
I agree.
Because you get these small adjustments and movements,
right.
But I still think the growth is significant. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
Sorry for the mix up, y'all.
Well, let's move on to some more exciting news. As teased at the top of the show, some users of the Google Home app noticed a new item that's appearing for some in the Discover tab that says multiple user support is here. But actually, it's not quite yet. So now you and others in your home can get a personalized experience from your assistant. I have not gotten this update yet, so I don't have access to it. But it's moving in that direction. So I cannot wait to get it. Some other changes that they did change, which I did have in my app currently, is Google has also moved the shopping list feature into Google Express and away from Keep, which has gotten a lot of criticism because, what was a handy dandy way to keep track of your shopping list in Google Keep now has become basically an injected make you use Google Express tool, which is synergy, but also annoying.
Yeah, what are those of us in the burbs supposed to do?
It'd be nice if Google gave you the option to choose.
Google, I live in the burbs. Yeah. I'm never going to use this.
We don't get.
Because you don't.
We don't get.
Offer it in the burbs.
We do.
I mean,
because I live in the next town over to you, and we do get like two stores that will. Yeah, but. Not a lot.
The one restaurant on Eat24, and I always order it from it.
So going back to the multiple user support item is that it appears as if recently pushed version, but then they haven't been able to replicate it. It's actually the multiple user card is not being shown anymore. And actually, Ars Technica got a statement from Google saying that we've seen the reports and don't have anything to share right now. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they let this slip out before it was ready to go.
Yeah.
So it slips out the fact the thing that we've been waiting for Google Home is that multi-user support, and the fact that that card even has been designed means it's coming. And personally, as a Google Home owner with multiple people in a household, I cannot wait for have this because I feel bad every time it goes through my schedule and not anybody else's.
I don't need speed metal on my freaking Spotify playlist.
I do. Sorry.
I do. I'm with you.
No,
too.
It's fine.
I wouldn't balk at it. I wouldn't kick speed metal out of the room.
Okay, well, but this is the whole point why we need multi-user accounts,
right.
Quite frankly.
You missed the point. Everybody needs speed metal.
I agree with Jason there. More suicidal tendencies. But to Tony's point earlier when we were talking about it in the top of the show where you're talking about search results and, you know, kind of tampering with the search results and then if your mom searches for cruises and Flo is searching for speed metal, that screws up your search results. And so now while I'm really curious how multi-user support is going to to work.
Exactly.
And
that's the other question.
if it's going to be able to recognize voices and actually route search history to the right person or not, because that's really hard.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And like you have to pull the Google Home has to pull in that data when you ask it like your agenda. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's calculating very quickly. Oh, user account, right. Oh, calendar. Mm-hmm. And I'm the owner of the Google Home in the house, so I'm the one allowing that user to have access. So I'm wondering how that's gonna work.
So it's probably gonna be very explicit. My guess is it's gonna be like, tell me what's on Flo's calendar today. Mm-hmm. And then it will tell you Flo's calendar versus you saying OKG, tell me what's on my calendar and it knowing who you are. You might like, I wouldn't be surprised if you have to specify whose account you're accessing. And then in the setup, like in the morning rundown, you say, okay, show these people's schedules and don't say these people's schedules. You know, like I can't imagine it's going to be so elegant that it's going to be able to know who's talking. And I wish it is, but I don't think it's going to be there yet.
That's why I'm curious about the Google user account thing, because
would you have to say it every time? Like, okay, G, this is Tony. And then like 5 minutes later, okay, G, this is Tony. Again.
But that's a clunky user experience. I mean, the best right. user yeah, experience yeah. is Google, you have this data on what my voice sounds like from the phone that I bought from you.
That's
so
the best experience.
Use that data to know, you know, if I'm speaking inside my own house.
That would also be more secure than just letting anybody that's in the house
absolutely.
Be able to say,
I don't
hear
want
what's
anybody to just talk to
calendar.
My Google Home. Just like I don't allow just anybody to pet my cat.
Okay.
Right there.
What I think might be interesting with this, though, and this is completely speculation, and we can start the official Google I.O. rumor pool, Jason, if you want to start tracking it.
All right.
But actually, Brian, I don't know if you can pull up an incognito browser and go to the Gmail sign-in page or just end the Google account sign-in page. But if anybody has logged into their Google account on the web recently, there's been a little teaser underneath your login that says a new login page is coming.
Oh,
it's right. You see, it's right there beneath there. So a new look for sign-in is coming soon, right? We're making it faster and easier to log into your Google account, right? So I wonder if that's tied to whatever this is going to be. Who knows? Maybe this is an I.O. thing. Maybe this is like a convergence of all Google services. Again, speculation. Who knows? Mm. But they're getting ready to change something with the way you log in and access your account.
Interesting connecting of the dots, because I've been seeing that on the sign-in page now for at least a week, if not a couple of weeks.
I don't even notice because I'm just like, hello, why'd you log me out? I have things to do.
But I haven't wondered, you know, you have to wonder what that change is around the corner. I mean, it would be super clunky if you had multiple accounts signed into a single home. And anyone that ever wanted to use it had to start with, hey, G, it's Jason. Tell me what's on my calendar. Hey, G, it's Jason. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like that would be, you got to go the voice recognition approach. They already have information on training it around your voice.
And they want it to be conversational.
It's got to be conversational. That's my big thing now is it's the second sentence. It's like, you know, you ask Google something and it gives you the answer, but then there's always a follow-up and it's got to remember what it just told you and start that conversation versus just doing an ask and answer. Really curious. But the last little bit of information before we move on, the website, The Information, says, and we've been hearing rumblings of this already, we were talking about it, that Google is indeed working on a version of Google Home that will also act as a Wi-Fi router and or repeater. So this is very cool. So
finally,
you won't need the little hockey puck Google Wi-Fi product, which is a great product. If they can build that into Home, that's awesome.
I have those both right next to each other.
Yeah. I mean,
then right next to the Nest. And I'm just thinking that's a lot of IoT,
stacked in a
row. But I need all those three things in my office.
Sure.
And and once you get one Google Home, then you think about, oh, man, you know, this would also be really useful in this room or whatever.
I would love to have a Wi-Fi extender,
which I mean, I have that. You know, I have Wi-Fi in a couple of rooms, and in both of those rooms, a Google Home would be super useful.
I have a Google Wi-Fi in our bedroom, which is just like, it's so out of place. You know, to have.
But a Google Home in your bedroom is
Google Wi-Fi.
Google Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just so out of place. It shouldn't be in there. That's a room of rest and peace, not, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I hear you there. Let's take a break. And thank the sponsor of this episode. That is ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you need some help. You know, you got to know where to search to find all the best candidates for your positions. And that isn't always easy. You need to be able to post your job in all these places. But it's usually, you know, the process can be very complicated and convoluted because there's tons of places. Posting in one place isn't enough to find all of those quality candidates that you know are out there. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And with ZipRecruiter, you can do that easily. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks. Of course, you want to be there, Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city or any industry nationwide. You just post one time, and you'll see, you'll watch as candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's interface, which is super easy to use. They make it very easy for you to hop in there. No need for juggling emails, no need for calls to your office. You just quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and then, of course, hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses, and that's because it works, saves you time. Right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. That's ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And one more time for good measure to try for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android. All right, this second block is two segments in one. We'll start off with hardware.
All right. And I'm fairly certain Jason is punishing me for making me cover this story, but Huawei unveiled its new Honor 8 Pro, and I believe I said it correctly. Huawei Honor 8 Pro.
You got it.
I'm enunciating despite being still stuffed up from the plane. So the Honor 8 Pro, somewhere around $600 will cost you to get this. They released it last week, and here's the specs: a 5.7-inch quad HD display, a Kirin 960 with four 2.4 gigahertz cores and four 1.8 gigahertz cores. That's a lot of gigahertz cores. 6 gigabyte of RAM, 64 gig of storage, 12 megapixel rear-facing camera, 4,000 milliamp battery, running Nougat, Android 7.0, and the device box turns into a cardboard VR viewer. Which I can't believe no one has done that yet, and that's genius.
Alcatel has done this.
Okay, so of course Alcatel has done that. Alcatel has always done everything. So this is going to be available in the UK starting April 20th, and no word on the US availability or pricing yet. And there are many, many people out there who are saying it's a better phone than Huawei's flagship, the P10. What do we think of the Honor 8 Pro here? Is it leveling up the Huawei regime?
I think it looks really nice.
Huawei regime.
I mean, I think the Honor brand was it. What was the last one? Was it the Honor 8 that came prior to the Pro?
It was pretty. It was really pretty. Yeah. It was a beautiful blue.
It's a striking design.
And the 960 is
the Kirin.
It's in the Mate 9, which is the big Huawei flagship. So it's the power. It's the horse.
Yeah, Honor 8 has the 950.
Yeah, which is a bit of more of a mid-range.
Right.
Yeah, more of a mid-range one. So this is high-end.
Yeah.
Now, do we know if this is coming to the United States?
We don't.
If you listen to me, I said we don't know when it's coming out.
I'm sorry, Ron. Today we're going to close every good at multitasking.
I asked them this morning. I'm yet to get a response from them.
Yeah, no, currently it's only been announced for the UK on April 20th. No word on U.S. availability or pricing flow. So.
Yeah,
it's okay. I mean, you were focused. I understand. It's all right.
The Verge is saying that Honor only has plans to sell this across Europe, but that could change. Available through Amazon and stuff, so you could buy it. You know, there's ways to get it here in the U.S.
Sure.
It's obviously unlocked. Yeah, I don't know. I like what Huawei is doing with their Honor brand.
Huawei.
It's a nice looking kind of design, nice approach.
Hey, this is kind of actually maybe off topic. This is completely off topic. But you just made me think about Leico. Did you hear the news yesterday?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, what happened? I was disconnected.
Getting Vizio.
So you were disconnected for a very good reason. But basically, Vizio and Leico, the deal didn't go through because of Chinese regulations.
Wow.
A lot of people are thinking it's because they couldn't afford them, but they're saying regulations.
So. Well, they're saying
regulations. Right. I'm pretty sure it has to be a mixture of both.
But right? I'm wondering if it has
that's
to be
coming off. That's coming off that bad news, Leico laying off like a bunch of people Like, interesting.
They say they're missing their forecasts for U.S. sales. They're planning more job cuts. I mean, they had that huge announcement with all those things. Did you go to that announcement?
Yes, I did. Remember.
You went to that big kind of crazy announcement where they showed off
at
an Android
bike. At the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco.
They showed off the electric vehicle, which is the Faraday Future.
Yes, and they had 8 men on stage, 0 women, just FYI.
Yeah.
I did a tally that day.
That's right. I remember that, actually.
And I thought about it because you were saying, you know, are we excited about the Honor 8 Pro? And I just think about Huawei as being one of the few Chinese brands that, you know, has any sort of weight with Android users these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I would completely agree.
And look how excited we get over the Honor 8 Pro. No, and I mean that in all sincerity. Yeah. Because the specs inside are good, and it's a pretty, you know, they make really pretty phones.
They do. And this one's all metal, which I like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But pour one out for Leico, because Leico?
I think it's Leico. Yeah, like Leico system.
They're not seeing Huawei success right now, that's for sure, at least in coming to the U.S. But and that was one of their big things that they wanted to do.
Right, which they were going to, I believe, do in tandem with Vizio.
Yeah.
Right, but so since that's fallen through, they're going to have Leico apps on Vizio.
Precisely.
Like nice consolation prize.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. So now when you go to Costco, you could see the Leico apps.
You can still be
Vizio
part of the
TV.
Leico ecosystem through Vizio.
The ecosystem. And if you're sitting in Ron's living room watching TV, you might be able to enjoy one of Leico's apps.
No, well,
TV.
That's right. Well, TV doesn't have apps, right?
I'm on the E series, only the Chromecast. I didn't want any of the apps. That's one of the reasons why someone specifically asked me if I looked at the Leico TVs, and I was like, because they were running Android TV and they have Chromecast plugged in, and I did see them at the demo set up here in New York City, but I didn't want any stuff on the TV. I just want the Chromecast, and I was watching the Mets game earlier, and it was excellent.
Would it sway you differently, though, if your TV's interface was Android TV because it has Chromecast built into it?
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I thought of. That's what that was the real question, is that because I was like, here we are back talking about my TV. But
that's okay.
I loved Google TV. Android TV was the next iteration of it. Let me get something like that. But I don't want to turn on my TV and have some other curation or whatever barking at me to go to launch this app. Like, even though Android TV is great, there's still it treats it like a storefront. And I'm at the point now where I rarely sit down in front of my TV and go, I wonder what I should watch. Like, I always know exactly what I want to watch, and all that stuff is just noise. Like, even like the only reason why I have the Amazon Fire Stick is to watch stuff that's only on Amazon. And every time I switch over to the Fire Stick, I cringe as I wait for that whole screen to load up, and as they're hawking whatever show that I don't watch or whatever app they want me to download or whatever, just too much noise.
Yeah.
So part of it was a decluttering to go for the E-Series. And also to speak to, I know, Jason, you and I talked about this offline, but I did get an email, I forget from the person's name, but you know who you are. The TV, the E-Series, a lot of them don't come with a TV tuner plugged in. So if you plug in a HD antenna, nothing will happen. You basically need a TV tuner box. But the one I got, which is the latest model, has the TV tuner plugged in. So that wasn't a concern for me because I can just plug in my antenna and the TV tuner software is in there. I don't need another box. So it looks like some of the E-Series do have TV tuners. So interesting fact. There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Megan Maroney here at Twitch. She just got a new Sony TV, and it's running Android TV underneath.
Cool.
So I'm very curious to hear what she thinks about that. I mean, she's an iOS user, and you know, it's Android TV, and so I wonder what the interplay is there between
the. I did look at the Sony Android TV displays, and they were in the running. Those were some nice TVs, but ultimately, I just wanted Chromecast. So.
Yeah. Fair.
And we're going to revisit my TV. After the next in a little bit, in the next segment, actually, because this relates to some of the news.
Yeah, you know, now's a good time to jump into apps. But we're not getting to that story yet.
No. First, we're going to talk about Bixby, which is what we had alluded to earlier, which is basically that apparently you can change the Bixby hardware button on the Galaxy S8. Before we get into that.
Oh, okay.
However,
okay.
First, we have to say that related to this story is that Samsung has said that Bixby Voice Assistant won't ship with the Galaxy S8. In fact, this just came out right before we were about to sit down and do the show.
Ouch. What a bad move.
This is appropriate now, because now we can tell you how to change the hardware button so you can actually use it for something else.
Hey, don't you love it when it works like that? What's that?
If it doesn't ship with it.
What, it's going to be a dead button? What is the button going to do when it ships? Yeah, that's really good.
It loads a screen that says, Bixby, coming soon.
Imagine that Bixby is here.
Well, Bixby...
a little promotional video that shows you what it will do.
Other parts of Bixby do include the visual search and the reminder abilities and basically like the Google Home-ish stuff. The whole home screen,
control.
The home layout that lives where Google Now normally would, where you can see what you're doing for the day and what content is on TV, etc. Okay. So that's still going to be there. And I'm going to assume that also the visual search, which is the one where you use the camera to take a picture and it like goes on the internet.
Which works. Not
smartphones do.
It works pretty well in my experience. So, yeah, that's as much as I can say.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you would actually use that, because as you guys were talking about it last week, you know, you take a picture of Clorox wipes or something, you're probably going to buy it anyways. Why would you need to take a picture of the Clorox wipes to tell you the prices of the Clorox when you know you're going to buy it?
Well, it's supposed to be for like wine and like, you know, cheese and fancy.
Yeah, but a lot of those things are so esoteric that like when you take a picture of like cheese, like, well, I don't know, like it's cheese. Like what do you
want Swiss. There's holes in it. Yeah, that's bad.
It's not Swiss. It's, I don't know. I don't know very much about cheese.
Gorgonzola. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know very much about cheese to make that joke really go the extra mile, unfortunately.
But no Bixby at launch. That's kind of a...
That's
so I
huge.
Not.
I mean, that's kind
that's
of a
real,
big deal. Like, they made a really
a
big
mess.
Deal about Bixby.
That's a big mess. That's a big...
There were a lot of people who were playing around with the device at the announcement who said Bixby obviously not done. They really didn't let us get in there and play around with
it.
No,
so I
guess
I couldn't play
clues,
with it either.
Right?
I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were clues that they weren't quite there with Bixby, but
yeah,
not
but that
having
wasn't
it at launch.
The, yeah, that wasn't the clue that it would not be here at
right.
launch.
Yeah.
The clue
in
was
in retrospect,
that,
it kind of is, but we certainly didn't know that at the
sure,
time.
Sure, no, precisely. Well, I guess so now apparently you can change the Bixby button if you pre-ordered this phone and you're like, well, crap, what am I supposed to do with that other button?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could just press it in case you need like, you know, a fiddling toy. Instead of buying a fiddling toy, you could just use your
stress
GSA.
Relief.
I have
just
a fiddle,
press that button.
Just press it.
And I have a fiddling toy.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
What?
It's like a fiddling.
What is that?
My fiddle. I don't have a Bixby.
It's for people who fidget.
See, I don't have a Bixby button, so I have to use this.
See? This is what happens when you don't have a Bixby
Can
button.
I see that? I want a fiddle.
Jason's
okay,
a
continue.
Fiddle.
I'm going to play with
you. He's going to fiddle while I continue.
We just lost Jason for the whole
I know.
Show,
that's it. We're done. Yeah. They call it a fiddling
Not
toy.
Not now, I'm fiddling.
Fiddle toy.
Fidgeting.
That's so cool.
Fiddling is the actual act of fiddling, I just realized now.
That'll make you go blind, Flo.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
An app called All-in-One Gestures can change the Bixby button with the accessibility services activated. So apparently you can press the Bixby button. It generates this some sort of unique code. You press back to exit out of Bixby. You click to add that code, and then you can assign it a new function with this particular app, which you can choose to have Google Assistant pop up when you press it, which is nice.
Or search or whatever.
Yeah. So you can actually use Google.
Which is what you probably want to do anyways, right?
Which is what most people...
We don't know yet. Nobody's actually used Bixby to give it the full...
I pre-ordered my S8 Plus, so I will definitely give Bixby
I did too.
A
what
solid...
color did you get?
I got Orchid Gray.
I'm so proud of you.
I'd like to know how many people have bought Samsung devices and have been using Samsung like milk and, you know, the Samsung S-Voice. Like how many Samsung Knights are so devoted to Samsung ecosystems that they're actually downloading the apps via the Samsung apps gallery and things like that. Because there's so many people that I've talked to and read anecdotally and the journalists that say the phone is great, but Bixby is such a fidget toy.
Jeez, we really did. We really did lose.
That was good.
We might not. We might not have lost Jason, but we lost Brian for sure.
I don't know.
Brian with the wipes.
That was well done. That was really well done.
for our audio listeners, Jason is playing with Tony's fiddling toy, which is a little spinny device. A spinner that spins on his finger, which is pretty cool. Not as cool as Bixby, or it's probably cooler than Bixby, to be honest with you. So
I never realized I needed one of these, but apparently Bleak might have leaked to it on Ali. Did you get this at AliExpress?
No, but there's a ton that you could buy. Yeah.
So this is I learned something. I never knew that there was a whole genre.
They sell them at 7-Eleven now, by the way.
What?
They sell them at 7-Eleven now. Yeah.
You can get them for like $3 on AliExpress or that one for $90.
Yeah.
This is $90?
Yeah, because it's all brass.
I mean, it's nice.
Yeah.
For a fidget toy, it's really nice.
You couldn't just melt some pennies?
Jeez, I didn't know this genre, this thing existed.
Oh, Flo.
I feel like I need one.
I was thinking too quickly.
Oh, man, that's so weird. Anyways.
Let's talk about the next story.
TLDR, y'all, if you pre-ordered the Galaxy S8 and you're worried about a Bixby button, there are plenty of button remappers available in the Play Store that you can use. All-in-One Gestures has over 1 million downloads, so that is definitely verified by the Play Store. So write that down.
You can do it, too.
For when the phone comes out.
That's right.
And Bixby is, they're saying Bixby is going to ship in late spring. So it's not that far off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be late spring is the end of June. So, you know, your mileage may vary. We'll see if they hit that or not.
Don't you want to have something that's like 100% instead of 60%?
Sure.
Yeah.
To be fair, we are Android users and most of the things Google gives us sometimes are only at
80%. Well,
it's in beta.
And also keep understand where Samsung's coming from with their improved focus on quality assurance that if a product is not bulletproof, they're not going to ship it. So, you know, maybe Bixby is not going to make your phone blow up. So maybe it's a good thing. So there you go.
That would be a bad thing for
or
Samsung.
Or record everything you're saying and then sending it to your mother.
Jeez.
This is what Flo said today.
Like, setting up your phone. Who is your mother? What is your mother's email address?
And her phone.
Great. Thank you. I'm not telling you why I needed that. So Google unleashed a new app called YouTube TV. It's more than an app. It's
it's
app
service.
And a service.
Yeah.
And it's basically their over-the-top TV service, essentially. If you
I'm so excited for this.
First month is free, so everybody can check it out, at least in the U.S. You can check it out for the first month free, $35 per month after that. And I believe I read that if you pay for your second month up front when you sign up, they'll give you a free Chromecast.
Yep.
And so you have a free Chromecast to throw around, although you probably don't have enough of those at this point.
Have enough Chromecasts.
You can scroll through. One thing I really like about the interface is that it gives you the live channels as you're kind of –
Oh, I love that.
That's very cool. It gives you a little live preview, which
is
amazing.
Look at that. Hey, so does it have what networks does it have?
I don't have the list in front of me, but it has the big four, of course.
It has all the broadcast networks. It's got a whole bunch of cable networks. None of the Viacom channels, unfortunately, which I know that's some of my friends were upset to see that. But pretty much all the NBC Universal stuff, Fox, you know, that sort of stuff. A lot of sports, of course, because sports is kind of a thing that gets it. But and you can add Showtime for an additional $11, which I did, so I'll be able to watch Twin Peaks
in
May.
Oh, my gosh, it has Bravo.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my gosh, it has Bravo.
Or the soccer network for like $15 too.
So it's important to note that this is currently limited to just Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. So it's being tested in those major markets.
So if we live in the burbs, it's not going to work for us?
It works for us. We're fine.
It works for burbs.
Yeah. Okay. He's in burbs right now, right?
Yeah, he's in burbs.
True. Yeah, good point.
It's like the San Francisco Bay Area.
Right.
So we're good.
Okay.
So so this came out and not even 2 minutes after I got the email, I signed up for it. And I came home and I showed my girlfriend this and her reaction, and she's not one of us. Like, she's a regular person. She went, "Oh man, game over." And I was like, "Yep." For, you know, as a cord cutter, as someone who has been going by not so legal ways to get my TV shows, like this, the subscriptions are so easy. The DVR stuff is great. You just say, "I want to record Grey's Anatomy," and it's in there. You can access it. You can skip. You can, you know, honestly, it's amazing.
Oh man, I'm gonna sign up for it tonight.
It saves up to nine months, right?
Yeah, exactly. Good point, Tony. It saves up for 9 months. But what I think is most amazing is that you can have up to 6 user accounts
across three concurrent streams. So no more sharing passwords or anything right. like that. I just set up my girlfriend on her own account. She can watch whenever she wants to watch. I can watch whenever I want to watch. And I'm only paying $35 for the two of us. So, it's like they looked at what all of the services have been doing up to this point and said, where are all the pain points? So let's fix them all.
Because Sling TV, I think, is around the same price for some of the same channels that I am interested in. Bravo. But I'm just not, but I watch a lot of YouTube. So that's why this makes sense.
Now it's funny though, because one of my friends actually commented on Twitter, because I said, okay, I'm switching to YouTube TV. Let's see how this goes. And he's like, oh yeah, he's like, start the countdown now to see when after you finish watching a show, they suggest the next YouTuber as the next thing to watch, you know, which is probably going to happen sooner or later, because they do list amongst the channels YouTube Red, which is as a channel. And then they also do have, as Jason's pointing out here, shows on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, they have their own original stuff. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And they also show you trending on YouTube. But that's fine, because I mainly watch Seth Meyers on YouTube. I watch The Closer Look, and that's it. I don't care about the rest of the show.
That donut episode's really good, by the way.
And then you can watch dumpster diving videos afterwards.
Sure.
So what's really nice, too, that I like is, so, Jason, if you start a video, just any video, and then you swipe down... So it still plays like picture in a picture, but then you can keep on searching for other shows. So it's kind of like if you're in the middle of a commercial break while you're watching,
like on satellite TV,
exactly. You have a little in your commercial break, you could kind of peruse the other channels to kind of look between channels, like, oh, maybe during the next 2 minutes I'll watch this show and vice versa.
So yeah, the picture has come a long way.
Yeah,
the picture in picture is doing really great. It's come a long way. Yeah, this is great. So the only – I alluded to this earlier, but going back to my TV, the only weird thing is that for the life of me, the YouTube TV app does not – I don't get the Chromecast icon to cast to my TV.
Weird.
I noticed that.
Isn't that weird? And so like I've been actually talking to Chromecast via Twitter, via direct messages, which, by the way, fantastic support. I didn't even at mention them or anything. I just said, oh, weird. Chromecast isn't working with the YouTube TV. And they DM'd me and they're like, what model are you using? What phone are you using? They took the whole thing. I'm waiting to hear back what the call is. What's interesting, though, is that if I go to tv.youtube.com and I cast – from the browser, via the Chromecast plugin, this is a bit of magic. If I go to tv.youtube and I hit play on something, I hit Chromecast, not only does it cast it to the TV, but the TV automatically switches the input to the Chromecast input. I don't have to touch the remote at all. I don't know how that happened, but it does, and it's amazing.
That's awesome.
So I don't really need the app to watch it on the TV. I can just, be on the – because I'm using my computer on the TV as well as an input. But it's weird that it doesn't work with the app, and so I'm working with them to try to debug it. I'm assuming that maybe they don't have – whatever type of Chromecast is baked into the TV. I'd be curious if anybody else has Chromecast on their TV, if they're able to get it to work. But so far I love this service. I'm all about it. This is great. This is the future of my TV. It's like game over.
So I am hearing it doesn't have a Roku app or...
Not yet.
No, so they don't have apps. Right now it's purely if you want to watch it on your TV, your Chromecast.
So you got to do it through Chromecast.
Yeah.
Can you Chromecast the screen of your phone and then cast that? Like worst case scenario?
That's a good question.
I mean, I could just do it from the browser. That's doing the same thing and doesn't tie up my phone. Right. So, yeah.
I'm saying someone's using the computer and they don't want to hog the resources of casting it while they're doing something.
Yeah, no one else is using the computer. It's just me. It's a lonely apartment, Tony, when it comes to computer use.
I'm sorry.
My girlfriend would prefer not to use the computer, so it's...
Nice. I'm liking it, too.
So, Ron, do you think that this is something that could get me to completely leave Hulu? Because I have not been really watching Hulu lately.
Well, then
I guess it depends on how... Well, I mean, it's more money. It's $35 a month, right?
It is, but Network TV, and then I kind of stopped watching some of the things that were being shown, and then like the CW left Hulu, and so I don't have any CW shows on there, which
then it sounds like it would. And for me, the added bonus is also the local channels. Like I, you know, whenever there's a storm in New York City and I want to watch Eyewitness News 7, I got to go to their live stream, which is filled with ads and kind of annoying. Admittedly, if you have an Android, if you have a, not Android, if you have an HD antenna, you can get the broadcast channels. But a lot of people have a, you know, like in San Francisco, I had a miserable time line of sight. I couldn't get the Fox channel because I was, you know, at the bottom of the hill in Haight Street and the tower was on the other side of the hill. So just in terms of the local access, like we're not just talking like ABC, NBC, CBS, we're talking local affiliates. Like the, like I get WABC, you know, the Channel 7 Eyewitness News team, which is the best in the business. That local aspect. So the Oscars, you know, award shows, all that sort of stuff. Now I can get through YouTube. This is like, I don't want to pay cable. I don't want to give here. It's Time Warner's turned into Spectrum. I don't want to give them a cent, more than a cent than I have to. And so this is a way to get all that stuff without having to go to them. It's really could be the future of TV distribution. I think YouTube finally, like it was kind of thing. Like, why did it take them this long?
Mm-hmm. So then the benefit is also like if I'm on my computer, I can just have a YouTube, a window in the background.
Yes.
And just
yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Just your TV. Yeah. You can have it in a little.
If you're traveling, if you're on the road and you want to watch your local stuff or whatnot, you
will
have
they
it.
Let you?
Yes.
Because you sign up in your local region.
Yeah.
So even if you leave.
That's a good question, though. I haven't tried that. If you're traveling.
I'm like, if I go overseas, then, you know, I want to watch.
Well, does Netflix work overseas when you're... Cause you
Netflix is not.
Right.
Well, they'll give you whatever's in that region.
Okay. So, presumably, this might be the same content issue if you took this overseas. It would say, well...
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. Yeah. I know that the app does get your location when they make a point. It's like, we're figuring out where you are. But I was also able to, like, on the web, I told it, this is my zip code. And it worked. Right. So, yeah. But hey, I'm fine with paying $35. I don't need the Chromecast. This is, you know.
I mean, I paid like so much money monthly anyway for subscription stuff, and I pay for shows I don't get. So
ripoff, total ripoff. I mean, the one thing I would say that YouTube TV could get rid of Bravo. I think that's extraneous, but all the other channels are just perfect. I love it. So I'm totally. And also in Marsworm in the chat room mentioned that. That he doesn't get Chromecast on his Vizio SmartCast P series either. So I'm wondering if there's a something in the firmware on the Vizio TVs, the Chromecast, that's having them not talk. And I'm just waiting for the update to the YouTube app. I bet you to the YouTube TV app. I bet you it gets fixed at the next update or a future update.
And the TV's supposed to be so that if it's on, it's castable. Like there's no like mode to be in order to reset.
No. What's funny is that when I go off my Wi-Fi, I get the Chromecast icon, no problem.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Cool.
Yep.
YouTube TV awesomeness.
Yes. Indeed. Very cool. Worth the wait. Well worth the wait. What's also worth the wait is thanking our next sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Tracker. And if you're anything like me, the mornings get a little hectic. You know, you just cut it as close as you can. You get up, you work out, you shower, you send off a couple of work emails. You, if you have time, you eat breakfast. You get 2 seconds of the news on ABC, Channel 7. You throw your laptop in your bag. You have just enough time to make it to work. And you turn to lock the front door. And you realize, where are your keys? Now you're going to be late. So we've all been there. But now with Tracker, you never have to worry about losing your things again. The Tracker Bravo is a coin-sized device constructed with anodized aluminum for the thinnest, most durable tracking. Locate misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers in seconds. Just pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to any item, and find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's just that easy. Seriously, it is. I use Tracker on my keys. Literally, that use case I've done, and it's super easy. If you lose your phone, you can press the button on your Tracker device or ask your Amazon Echo, and your phone rings even when it's on silent. Your phone can track up to 10 devices at once, and family sharing lets you track the same Tracker Bravo from multiple phones. Customize two-way separation alerts so you're notified before you leave your item behind, which is super smart, by the way. With over 4.5 million devices shipped, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item shows up on a map, even if it's miles away. The Tracker app records its last known location. When another Tracker user comes within 100-foot range of your item, you'll receive a GPS update on where your item is located. The distance indicator on the tracker app will show you if you're getting closer to your items. And with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no reason not to give it a try. So stop losing your stuff today. Go to thetracker.com, that's thetracker.com, and enter promo code AA to get a free Tracker Bravo with any order. That's thetracker.com, thetracker.com, promo code AA, and your free Tracker Bravo with any order. We thank Tracker for not only keeping track of my keys, but for sponsoring this episode of All About Android.
That's right. Tracker.com, promo code AAA. Thank you, Tracker, for your support. We've got a bunch of feedback. Real quick, though, just to tie on to YouTube TV, I was looking this up. If you're watching from the location that you set up in, you can watch the big four broadcast networks. Okay. If you're outside of your location area, you can't watch the big four, but you can watch any of the cable networks.
Interesting.
So it's very localized for
so it's local. As if you had it, you were carrying a TV with you and you right. were setting it up and honestly that's the comparison true. It's kind of the yeah it so yeah.
Now the DVR, is that cloud based or can you download it directly to your device so I can watch it on the plane?
Ooh, I think offline. That's a good question.
I think there's offline viewing.
Whoa, Tony.
I just asked.
Whoa, that's a lot of stuff for a launch, man.
Let's see here. Do
the
I
expectation
have
of downloadable?
No, yeah, totally.
Hang on. So I recorded the Expanse. Then let me see if I can. When I go to play it, let's see. This is great watching me try to figure this
great
out.
Content.
It just shows it. It doesn't say.
Yeah, I'm not.
Does it show a little download arrow?
I don't think there's. I don't think there's offline viewing yet.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah,
man, that'd be pretty awesome, though.
I mean, I'm sure it's coming.
Rome wasn't built in a day, y'all.
It took Netflix how long? It took YouTube how long to have downloadable content? So you know,
it's becoming more and more a norm in this.
It's more common. It's becoming more common.
I never thought I would see the day that YouTube would become a cable provider.
I don't know. Honestly, after looking at this, I don't know why it took that. Like I said, I don't know why it took them this long. This is they've got the infrastructure. It makes perfect sense. It's just the deals.
Yeah.
But to your point though, I've never used offline viewing for anything.
Okay.
Like I've never downloaded like mainly because I sleep on planes, so I don't need to be entertained. But like,
there's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So I recognize that if people want entertainment on planes, they probably would want it. But that's why I didn't even notice it, because I didn't miss it, because I'm always connected. So
sure.
Or try to be always connected.
Oh, I've used it on Netflix. I've used it on Amazon, and it comes in super handy. With kids on a plane, it's just like load the tablets up. Give them as many options as you can.
With kids on a drive to just San Francisco, it's like here, offline.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, because you're not connected to your
home Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Man, I had coloring books back in my day.
I know.
Now
I tell them to look outside and enjoy the scenery, and they look at me like I'm stupid. I'm like, okay, fine, here's your phone.
What happened to looking at license plates and talking about the states that you see and all that?
Yeah, my son does that, and he punches me. He's like, don't do that. I'm driving.
I'm back into my tablet.
Yeah.
All right, some feedback time, aaa@twit.tv. If you ever want to leave us an email, we love to get your emails. We've got a bunch here.
Yeah,
We'll see how many we can get through in a short period of time here. Dwight from Atlanta says, the new S8 looks amazing as expected. I'm sure the next Note will be also. But seriously, guys, I think this Note 5 is going to be my last Android flagship device. I'm not saying I'm leaving the platform for good or will never own another Android phone. It's just I'm not going to depend on it as my daily driver anymore. I always get so excited about yearly OS announcements and all the cutting-edge features from Android OEMs, but I swear it never fails. I get the latest phone that I've been drooling over. Everything's great for 3 to 6 months, but by 9 months to a year, I'm ready to smash the thing because of the horrible performance and battery life. I'm tired of factory resets. I'm tired of constantly tweaking to optimize for battery life. I'm tired of seeing Android OS, Android system, and Google Play services sucking up 50% of my battery. I'm just tired. So he goes on to basically say he's going to test out the iPhone, of course. He's going to switch over. He says the divorce papers are signed. Android will always have a place in my heart, but she'll be more like a side chick for now.
Oh.
And iOS, whoa, my main squeeze.
Android ain't no side chick. Hold on now.
So now, interesting. Nice. Oh, geez. Interesting timing for this email, though, because I'm going to say something very uncharacteristic of me.
Okay.
In that, so I was standing in line for Peter Pan at Disneyland yesterday, as I watched at about 4 o'clock, as I watched my phone shut down because the battery was dead. and I didn't have my external battery on me. I left it at the hotel, and so essentially I was phoneless from 4 o'clock until about 9 or so, when I finally went back to the hotel room to grab my charger. And I found myself for 5 hours turning to my girlfriend going, "Oh, take a picture of that. Oh, can you send that to my sister?
Oh,
look this up."
Sucks.
On her iPhone. And like, and I was self-aware enough to realize that, like, oh, here's the difference. Uh-huh. You know, I even asked her at that point when my battery died. I was like, "What are you at?" And she's like, "Oh, 66%. And I was like, "Ah." Oh. And like in my head, I was like, "This is, you know, we still haven't solved this problem."
I will say, I am very impressed when I see my pals with like 3% on their iPhones and they're still texting.
They're still doing everything.
Yeah. I'm like, "Aren't you afraid? Don't you want to go to a charging station right now?" And they're like, "Nah, I'll just use it until it dies." She's like, "I don't understand you people. Don't you have, like, don't you want to plug it in?" Like, no. Because they've been using it all day and they just, like, they know that they'll maybe get 15 minutes enough out of it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Mm. It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer driving under the gas gauge under E just to see how far he can get, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Fast driving that car.
But the thing is, and a lot of folks in the chat room are reminding me that the Nextbit Robin's battery isn't the greatest, that has problems, but I didn't, with the exception of the 6P, when I test drove that 6P, Jason, your 6P back in the day, remember that a couple years ago, that was the only time when I never worried about the battery. Every Android phone
Which
I've had up to this point.
Hilarious, because Eric's is dying right now.
Sure. Well, I mean, but that's kind of case in point, right? Like, you get these devices right from the beginning, and they're the best devices in the world.
And
we all know that like 6, 9, 12 months down the line, they are very different devices. If you were to review that on day one, or, you know, within the first week, month, as most people do when you read a review of a device.
Sure.
And if you were to review that device at a year, sometimes people do that, you get a very different experience. And what is the reason? Is that inherent in Android as an OS? Is that an inherent weakness in Android for a number of different reasons? Is that because of rogue, you know, you've installed too many apps and that you don't know what's going on behind the scenes there? Is, you know, like,
what does that mean? I've installed too many apps, right? Because I mean, why should I have,
why should that even matter? But apparently, you know, that's been a reason that it has mattered in the past.
And
maybe Android's moved on from that.
I'm scared that's the status quo for people when they think of Android. They think of Android as it's amazing now. Brand new Samsung phone, but I know 3 months from now you're going to have battery problems and you're going to complain about it.
Right.
Well, what I think is even more interesting is Dwight's insight into this is someone who's been on Android, it sounds like, for years.
Yeah.
And at
since
what
the
point,
OG Droid, he says.
Right, since the OG Droid. So at what point, like, he is self-aware enough to realize that I keep having the same problem with every phone. Maybe the issue isn't the phone. Maybe it's the OS.
Yeah.
I think that's a really valid question, and it's something that they still haven't been able to lick. And I was having a conversation with some software development friends of mine, and not about Android, but just in general. But the discussion at hand was the old adage that never rewrite code. Like, you build your basic code and you iterate, make better and fix and things like that. But if the battery management issue lingers all the way back to old versions of Android and it's still not fixed now, will it ever be fixed?
Mm-hmm. It's like putting different layers of paint on top just to keep covering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And I mean, they're saying what we know about the developer preview of Android O is that they are really trying to rein in background activity from apps. That is something that iOS has done really well. It's limited iOS's ability to multitask, and that's
something
been a strength
that
of Android is that
really
it's
well too.
Capable of multitasking. But, you know, there's a balance to be struck there in not letting apps just take over in the background. And you don't even, you know, it's not like that's doing you any favors when the phone's in your pocket, yet it's still taxing to the system. So who knows? We say it every time they have an Android update and they say there's battery improvements. Maybe this will be the one that makes the big difference. And
they have been making differences.
Sure. We'll see.
Yeah,
what
no
happens.
Baby. No baby. This time will be different. I promise. No, don't worry.
Well, I will say, on my Pixel, the Doze functionality or Doze on the Go, I've day and night between my Nexus 6P, my Nexus 6 I had. And
yeah,
Doze definitely made a difference.
Doze made, for me, makes a huge difference. Yeah. And it is specific apps that I use that will draw the battery. Where in my wife's Pixel XL, hers will go all day. And all she's really doing is just Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that Doze helps in a scenario of your everyday kind of at home or at work or whatever, when you put the phone down, it's not being used, whatever. But in the scenario of being out, oh, I don't know, Disneyland, or at a conference, or at a, you know, like at a music festival, or at something where you're constantly, you know, your phone is your conduit to the, you know, to the schedule or to whatever's going on, or texting your friends, trying to meet up and things like that. Like, Doze doesn't help in that point. Like, Doze is an iterative help and shows that they were able to address something, but it doesn't solve the problem.
Sure, yeah. But I won't say iOS, its battery is 100% better. I still see people on the side of, in Starbucks just charging their phone. And it's an iPhone, and it's a new iPhone, not an older one. So it's still out there. I think it's dependent on the user as well, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, right.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's on the user.
No matter how good the battery is, there will be a user out there that can push that battery to
being dead. You know what?
It's the battery technology, because too. They use it's lithium-ion battery.
That, yeah.
You
know,
it's, by this point in time, it's an archaic battery solution. So
yeah. Right, we're in a science problem. Right. Is that, like, you know, all the technical innovation stuff like that, the cell phone stuff, isn't going to fix the chemical makeup of lithium ion and how small they can get those batteries and all that sort of stuff. Like, we need a scientific breakthrough to solve the
ran on air.
Yeah,
I mean, even the guy who I think one of the guys who started using lithium ion batteries or discovered the charging possibilities of lithium ion battery, he's actually going into a whole new study with other battery technologies that we could potentially use in the future.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's switch up topics a little bit. We got a video mail from Brad, which brings up some interesting questions about brands.
Holding on.
Hey, guys.
Cue video.
Truck driver out here in Canada. Longtime fan of the show. I was just wondering if you guys had any recommendations of good, reliable phones that can stand a heck of a lot of usage and have a company that stands behind their product. I've mostly used Samsungs and had great results with them, no problems at all. This last time around, I decided I'd give LG a shot, and 6 months into having the G5, GPS stopped working.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, you got
my
that.
My usual usage is 8 hours straight every day, navigating, screen on, hooked to 3 Bluetooth devices at once, and plugged in. So I talked to LG, sent it away. A month and a half later, still wasn't resolved, and I'm still out in my truck navigating around with my toddler's 5-year-old Samsung Galaxy S2 Skyrocket.
Whoa!
Finally said enough's enough. Bought out the rest of my G5 contract and bought an S7. So you can understand my hesitation to want to try anything not Samsung again. So I was just asking your experiences. Are there any other good companies out there that make a good, reliable phone with a company that stands behind it? Thanks.
All right.
Samsung's at the top of that list, I would say.
Well, yeah, but before we answer the question, though, and I imagine Flo's got a lot of opinions, Tony as well, too. Before we answer that, I love the truck driver videos from the cab of the truck. That's awesome. B, thank you for parking and doing it. Yes. I'm so glad that video wasn't while you were driving, Brad. A sigh of relief when I realized what was happening. So that said.
And C, thank you for wearing a leather jacket.
Yes.
Sure.
They're awesome.
And D, Samsung Galaxy S2 Skyrocket is $2.09, according to CNET.
Wow.
So there you go.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's $2. No. Oh, I see. It was linking incorrectly. It was automatically linking to an Amazon page for the LCD screen protector.
Just the screen.
So there we go. The phone wasn't $2.09. Anyways, okay. Ron, go.
Oh, no. Flo. Oh. Or Tony, please take it.
I feel terrible that Brad is having such a terrible experience with the G5, but the G5 was
not a good phone.
The G6 is hopefully going to be a better phone, but also, fingers as we were crossed, just talking earlier.
The G5 from Motorola.
Oh.
Yes. Wait, hold on.
What?
Let's back that up for a second.
Yeah, back it up.
The LG G6 flagship.
Okay. Sorry, I'm getting
is
all these phones
really,
are named damn same
really
thing.
Scoring well. Yeah. But as we were just saying earlier, you can't tell much about a phone from the first couple of months of it being on the market, especially because this phone, like, literally just went on sale.
Okay, so what is LG's track record? in support.
Well,
and
right now
stuff.
They are in a huge lawsuit for boot looping issues.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, and it sounds like they already failed Brad too with his problem with the GPS system. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't want LG.
Yeah,
that's
completely understandable.
I would forgive him for that.
I mean, I kind of want to say Google and the Pixel.
I was going to say the Pixel as well. I mean, the Pixel, it's made by HTC, first of all, so they're a veteran phone making company. Second of all, the phone has been absolutely great to me we've had our Pixel since October, we're now in April, and my phone battery life, I have about 60% at 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
and
when my battery life's still rocking.
But even aside from the device, I think everyone at the table has had an individual experience with Google customer service trying to keep you happy. Yeah. You know, like how many Nexus 5 screens did I go through and they replaced them without charge? Like,
they're really concerned and focused on that. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially by the device protection, which is totally worth the extra $100 because they will give you a new phone if, you know, maybe your toddler throws it down the stairs and breaks it. Like, that's covered.
Or you run over it with your big rig. What? It could happen.
That's covered. Yeah. No, totally. It could. Like, that stuff is covered for an extra $100.
Could happen if you're covered.
And yes, Samsung is reliable, but if you're looking for other brands, I would say also agree that the Motorola does make reliable phones. I don't know about the Moto Z at this point because I haven't used it for that long.
Good point.
So I can't speak to that, but I can speak to the mid-range Motorola devices, which a lot of them are still chugging along at this point. Maybe
That was a different Motorola than what we have now.
Motorola, so, not under Lenovo.
Right. So that might be changed the scenario a little bit too.
Motorola Mobility.
Yeah. And what other brands? ZTE makes phones here.
Hard to know
How do we feel about OnePlus? Because that's a good deal.
It's a good deal, but I know a lot of my colleagues that have dealt with their customer service have been less than stellar.
How long ago was this?
The OnePlus 2 and the
Because I feel like they've changed. I feel like ever since the OnePlus 3, it's kind of like they've been on an uptick.
I have two of my colleagues that have the OnePlus 3, and they had a little bit of issues with that, and it was kind of a back and forth. So it's not... You know, customer service is, you know, it's kind of subjective. So, of course.
That's also,
So, but I would say they're getting better, but, you know, they just don't have the largest infrastructure that, you know, Google is going to have with, like,
that's
the Pixel.
True.
It's an expensive investment when you go Pixel.
$900.
But, yeah, but you kind of get what you pay for.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Mm. Yeah.
I love my phone. So much.
Or you could go the route he's in Canada, right? Yeah, so never mind.
What was your suggestion?
I was going to say, if you're in the United States, you can go the route of paying through Verizon so it's not so expensive. I know a lot of you don't like that option, but some people, that's the way that they can afford.
That's how my parents get their phones.
So that's an option as well, too. But I would probably say that my top three would, at this point in time, would be HTC/Google. Samsung, and then kind of in parentheses, LG, because the G6 right now looks great, but we are stepping on eggshells because we're not quite sure how it's going to pan out over the next few months.
I mean, they literally just released to people, and you know, there have been so many times things seem great right when it just released.
And the same thing with the Samsung Galaxy S8. We're saying great things about it.
And Bixby's not even going
to
be available.
We don't have to worry about Bixby, so there's that. But
I guess
maybe,
in the end,
we never
really know.
I think from a Samsung point of view, a friend of mine said this is probably the safest phone you can buy from them right now.
Probably so.
Because they do not want to make any kind of mistakes whatsoever. I was watching What's Inside on YouTube, and the guy poked it with a knife, the battery. And it didn't blow up or anything. You know, what normal lithium ion batteries supposedly would do with catch fire. So that's a good
LG
thing.
LG did the same thing, the same demo, by the way, for the G6.
Okay.
They drilled through the battery on the G6 to show that it would not.
Don't try it at home, folks.
Yeah, please don't
try
do
it
that.
Leave it to the YouTubers, apparently.
All right, so you have the next email.
I do have the next email.
Yeah.
This is from Ken, the same Ken that asked us to help him find an Android handset that would finally make him want to give up the iPhone and make the switch.
Oh, so this is back like the counterpoint.
This is back in episode 265, which was May 10th, the day after Ron and I's mutual birthday.
Last year.
Last year.
I remember it well.
I remember that year. He's finally found that handset, which is Brad from before, the LG G6. By far the nicest Android handset I've ever laid my hands on. It's beautiful and runs like a dream. The only thing he can't figure out is how to get it to save files and images he downloaded directly to the SD card. Images he downloaded from Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, the internet, basically. You know, it's not a big deal, but it's bugging him, so he asked if we can help him.
Yeah, and I think
I brought in a G6 for this demonstration.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I think the big question here is that you can save things from some places directly to the SD card.
Yes.
But if you're in, like, Twitter, for example, the actual Twitter app, and you go to save an image, it doesn't necessarily ask you where it's saving
it. It's just
it puts
save
it into the Twitter folder on your internal storage. It doesn't allow you to then save it out to the SD card. As far as I could understand, anyways.
Yeah. And then you could go in and manually move things over, but that's just a time arduous task.
It is. You could go into the apps and then you can, you know, click on the app that you want to move over to SD card and do that. So, you know,
I was looking around.
Not all of them accept that, by the way.
For an answer on this, and it looks like a lot of people are saying LG seems to be blocking the ability for some apps to give you a default option. So it's just going to give you whatever option the default app has.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah, I found
it might be an LG thing, but I don't. I'm
there
not
is
quite sure.
There is no option in the storage portion of the app settings that allows you to move it to the SD, which I find to be slightly odd.
Right, which is so it might be that
it might
that
be
LG,
a limitation of LG.
Yeah,
I saw some people that were saying File Explorer has the ability to adjust your home directory.
Yes, but ES File Explorer is.
I don't know if you want to mess around with that.
It's not from a good. They put a lot of that takeoverware that takes over your home screen and displays ads.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
But, however, maybe it's possible to do that with another file manager.
Yes.
Assign a different home directory, you know, instead of it being your home directory being the home directory on your internal storage, maybe assign it to your SD card and then maybe the Android OS. As a whole, see, I don't know. I don't know if that would actually work. But I haven't tested that myself.
Well, if we do find an answer to this, I promise to update you. You can encrypt your SD card very easily from the settings if you need to.
That's good to know.
There you go. All right.
Sorry,
we don't have an exact answer for you. I think the answer right now is that's not very easy to do. That's what we can give you. Congratulations for finding your phone.
That's always a great moment. It's like this moment in time when you find your phone,
it's like the car.
And you find your bliss and everything works. I know it well. I love that moment.
Hallelujah. Mike writes in and says, "Thanks to breaking my neck in a motocross accident."
Oh my
I'm really
gosh.
Sorry, Mike, that happened to you. He says, "I need to get a new smartphone, but need to control as much as possible hands-free. I've been holding out for the new Moto X, but I'm curious if any other Android-based phones would work better. I know Google has a new app that adds a lot of voice control, but I have no way of trying it out. Can you guys recommend any phones?" I feel like this is less tackled in what phone do I get and more tackled in how do I operate my phone hands-free.
Accessibility settings.
Accessibility settings is a part of this Google. So the app that Mike was talking about is an app called Voice Access. It's released by Google. Right now, it's a closed beta, from what I understand. It's not open to everybody. You can sideload it. So if you go to APK Mirror or a trusted source of sideloading APK Mirror, basically.
That's the one you can trust. Stick to that.
By the way, APK Mirror, the people behind that, Android Police folks. So if you trust Android Police, you trust APK Mirror, essentially. And they do all sorts of vetting and testing of those APKs. Really great source for sideloading APKs, legitimately. So you load that on there. It works without an internet connection. You enable inaccessibility settings in order to get it started and kind of rope it in. It requires Google Now always on, and that's because you want to be able to throw voice commands at this even when your screen is off. That allows you
because
to do
you
it.
Broke your neck in a motocross accident,
and I'm very sorry,
which is kind of awesome, by the way.
And unfortunate, yes, but I mean if you're gonna do it, hey, that was an awesome way to do it. All apps and functions on screen are basically given a number. Mm-hmm. So everything that you see on your screen has a little number beside it. You speak one of the numbers in order to activate that action or
Amazing.
app, or
that's
you can
awesome.
say open app name, whatever the app is. You can compose messages. You can use voice for navigation. You can simulate gestures like swipe up or swipe up on the lock screen or whatever, all with your voice. It works on any phone, Jelly Bean and up. So I kind of feel like it's less a question of what phone should I get. You can probably get it at most phones, and it sounds like Moto X has you curious. Get that. Load this on there. Maybe get some help from someone who can help you load that on there if you're unable to do it, and get it all set up. And I think you're set. There's also hands-free capabilities in Android Auto, and it also taps into
which you can use on your phone. Hubs. But so, if he was in an accident,
but yeah, that's not going to help him very much. You're right.
Those who are curious,
you go. For those of you who didn't break your neck in a motocross accident, which I'm very sorry once again that that happened to you, but I hope that helps.
Get well soon.
TTFN.
All right. Well, another email comes in from Mark. Writes in and says, "Hey, All About Android. I've been a loyal listener since the beginning." He said the Amazon version of the Moto G5 Plus 64 gigabyte was $239. Who cares about the lock screen? I'm a Prime subscriber, so it's nice to have all the Amazon apps on the phone. I received it the day it was released. Free Prime shipping, which is great. It's nice to hear about something I own on the podcast. With a 128 gig micro SD card, I can download Netflix, Amazon Video, and Dish anywhere. The Bean, B-E-I-N, Sports Connect app actually works on this phone. If you don't think that's a big deal, read the reviews of the app in the Play Store. Who needs to pay $400 or more for a phone? If you pay that much, you must be able to write it off for your taxes. It doesn't seem worth it to me. I did have the Nexus 5, but I couldn't bring myself to pay that much for the next Nexus and the Pixel. Well, forget about it. Sorry, Ron. I'm not interested in the latest and greatest. Neither am I. He says, I had a web TV, so I'm willing to settle. Yeah, I remember the web TV. You settled for a lot. So, Mark, I'm honestly with you. If all of us here, I'm the last to get the latest and greatest. I held on to that Nexus 5 for how many years? Like nearly 2 years, right? So, I'm with you. If you can find a phone for $250 that does everything you want and works great, then that's the name of the game. Not all of us are like Flo and Jason there who can afford the $800 Samsung hotness every time it comes out.
It's because we do this for a living.
They get to write it off, though.
So it's a tax write-off.
It's for work. It's for work.
Anyways.
I won't argue that.
The Pixel was a wedding gift to yourself, wasn't it?
It was, actually, yes. I used wedding money on it.
That's a smart investment.
That said, the Pixel is starting to look nicer and nicer.
Go get married and buy yourself a Pixel.
I'm wondering when my moment for the Pixel is going to be. If it's going to be when the Pixel 2 announces and I get the old one at the lower price, that might be it.
So. I think you wait till the Pixel 2 at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
It's not that far to wait.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Good. This is the game we play every single year, isn't it? This game's been played
maybe
on
it'll,
this.
Guys, maybe it'll have a hardware button just for Google Now.
Yeah, on the side.
Just for Google.
And it'll be there at launch. Sorry, Samsung. Really sorry.
Sorry, audio listeners.
Congrats to Mark for finding the phone and for us reviewing the phone that he actually has. All right, Flo, you have the final email.
We got the final email, and it's a question for me. If the Samsung Galaxy Tab S3, which is what I'm using right now for the show today, can show 4K HDR, it can. Is there a way to have it drive 4K content on your TV? The answer is no.
Yes. No, the answer is yes.
It is?
What about
the answer is absolutely yes.
How?
So this is
yeah, okay, how? So because we were Googling all afternoon. We were like, can't find anything.
What about Chromecast.
But that's not the same thing.
Yeah. And he actually asked through MHL like compatibility, which
Hang on. First off, a couple of things first. 4K and HDR are two very different things. Okay, so separate those things. 4K is the 4K resolution and whatever the numbers are. HDR is high dynamic range. Those are two different things.
Yes, and the Tab S3 is not 4K, actually. I'm sorry.
Exactly. I was about to say, the Tab S3 can play 4K videos, but not at 4K because the Tab S3's screen isn't high enough resolution. So it's not like... So basically imagine if you have a SD TV and you play an HD movie and it downgrades to play on your resolution, right?
Got it.
But if you have a 4K TV and you use Chromecast to cast 4K video from your tab, it will show in the native resolution of the TV, which is 4K.
But it has to be Chromecast Ultra.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
The
yes.
Which is pricier
70,
one.
The $70 one. Which yes. is worth it, though, if that's what you're looking yeah. for. Yeah. Yes. It won't do HDR, right? Or will it?
It won't do HDR.
Yeah. But it will do 4K.
Yeah.
So no MHL option.
No.
But yeah, I think that's MHL dead.
But that's why not a thing anymore.
I mean, MHL is wired and wireless, low latency. Yeah.
I feel like it's
4K.
Not a thing anymore.
It's like a direct wired connection, right. from what I understand. And that's why I got tripped up on that aspect of his question. Throwing out MHL makes me think what he wants to do is he wants to get some sort of HDMI video out directly out of this tablet into a TV at full native 4K resolution, was his question.
Right, and
the
answer to that is get a Chromecast Ultra and you don't have to worry about the wire and it does exactly that use case. Mm. Right? I mean, it's HDMI in at 4K, like, and it's just serving it wirelessly. Like, don't worry about the cable. I found a couple of forum posts of folks talking about this exact topic, and that's basically what they said to do. So okay. I'm going to go with that too.
Is it MHL compatible, so I could get a 4K media player and a tablet to replace my 2013 Nexus 7?
Well, it's a 4K media player. And it's a tablet. It's just not MHL compatible for 4K content.
So the answer is yes and no.
Is MHL even 4K compatible?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
It's like an old standard. Yeah,
it might not even be 4K compatible.
Anyway.
MHL 3.0 does 4K output.
3.0.
And data transfer. I just saw the same link on a gadget.
Added support for 4K Ultra
HD. March 2014.
Yeah. Anyways, there you go. The answer
Sorry,
is yes
Sean,
and no.
for the runaround answer.
Sorry, and you're welcome.
But also, Tab S3 is a great tablet, so.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be.
Tab S3 ain't no side chick, okay? All right, that's the real deal.
What's interesting about the Tab S3 and the whole 4K thing is that it can play 4K videos, but not at 4K when watching on the tablet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it can also record 4K. So ostensibly, you can use the tablet to record video in a resolution that the tablet can't show because it's better than the resolution of the screen. But if you have a 4K monitor, it will show up as 4K. So
it's like a dog whistle.
Yeah.
By the way, DJ Murdoch in chat says Super MHL 1.0 was introduced in January 2015, supporting 8K Ultra HD.
Wow.
With high Super dynamic MHL. Range, HDR video.
48-bit deep color. Ooh, that's hot.
That color is deep.
I love how in this future world that we live in now, we're all worried about gamut, the color gamut.
It's true. You want to watch your video. Word. Like
the gamut is such a great word. G-A-M-U-T.
Gamut. All right, let's take a break before we get into the arena and thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is LegalZoom. LegalZoom is awesome, and there are five things business owners can count on from LegalZoom. One, reliability. More than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help start their business. Incorporation, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more use LegalZoom to get started right away. Two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for over 15 years. They have a ton of experience. Three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, totally ready for your questions, all based in the U.S., so you're going to get an answer with little to no delay. Four, legal advice. Of course, legal is in the name, LegalZoom. LegalZoom actually isn't a law firm, but they have a network of independent attorneys. They can review supplier contracts, help with employment laws, and advise you on many of the hurdles that pop up when you're running a business. And five, no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing, customer reviews, and a satisfaction guarantee. LegalZoom is awesome. Check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and, probably more importantly, for your business. And don't forget to enter AAA at checkout. That's AAA at checkout to save even more. That's LegalZoom.com and use the code AAA. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android. Without further ado, Brian, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
K, last week's episode, bit.ly/AAAvote 312. I did not vote. I shall do that now. And I always do that.
It could skew the results there, Jason.
I didn't mean to.
I don't like this week.
And it looks like Hum On. Is it Hum On? Yeah, it's Hum On. 36.2%.
Yep. Wow.
Of the votes.
Look at that.
Plex was number two.
Second place, Plex.
And that was the comeback.
31.7%. Plex is pretty awesome. Yeah. Third place would be Nuga Quick Settings at 16.3%.
Phew, at least I was third place.
And fourth place is Grammar Pal.
But now, I'm not doing so well. Yeah, wrong.
So, yeah, so in the tally on the arena so far after 14 weeks, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, I am still in first place with 41 points. The guests are in second with 39 points. Jason surges ahead with 35 points. And Flo coming up with last with 34 points.
But not least,
no, not at all. But Jason, that win helped you there. You jump past Flo. You're climbing the charts. Another win, and you're going to pass me.
You're taller than
guests.
Me. You're climbing the charts now. You're always above me.
Sorry, Flo. I'm sorry. Excellent. All right. Feeling good. Flo, you are up first.
All right. Well, I brought a launcher to the arena this week because I was feeling really frisky this past weekend, and I really wanted to just redo my layout. I wanted something different. Now, at first, I went to Nova Launcher and I said, is this something I really want to use? Do I really want to use this? Because I tried using it many years ago and I just wasn't into it. But then another launcher caught my eye and its name was Eevee Launcher.
See, so we all gasped.
Yeah,
well, at least two
music,
of us did.
Insert there music
be,
here.
I know, there should be music. And sorry, y'all, clearly I didn't prepare this shot over here. My tablet is on night mode. So
I was going to say,
let me take it out of night mode so that...
There we go.
Because the sunset.
There we go.
So this is a little... this is the Eevee launcher. Now, unlike the, let's say, Pixel or Google launcher, when you're swiping over, you're not getting any of the Google Now over here. But I do love this. The way the app drawer just slides up, everything is in an alphabetical order. Every icon that has had, every app that's had an icon change is using that icon in the app drawer. And it's just this really nice, pretty synergy of icons on Eevee. What I also like is that there's a little search bar here at the top. And not only does it search, I don't know, let's see, what do we want to search for? Pokemon, obviously, guys, come on. What show is this? And not only does it give you the apps that are installed on your device, but also, you know, it gives you a couple search terms, but not too many to make it seem like, oh, there's, you know, sometimes you'll download a third-party app and it'll take you to Bing. And you're like, what the heck? I don't use Bing. I'm on Android. Hello. You don't want to do that. So you can just quickly tap on the Google search term and it'll take you to that page. Yes, it's an extra tap compared to, you know, what you might have to do on Google, but it's, you know, I like that the functionality is still there. You can set up different, so actually there's a whole settings app for this. It's called Eevee Settings. And what, let's go in there. Unfortunately, it isn't it,
only
when
portrait.
You, I know, when it's only portrait, which is kind of annoying because I'm doing it on this tablet. But here you can customize the home screen, the dock, like how big the columns are. Well, I didn't turn on the dock, so that's why that's not working. The icon pack, which you can go in and choose from the Play Store, which I really missed that functionality, but that was part of the reason I was staying away from launchers, because even though I wanted the icons, I wanted Google integrated into the launcher as well. And I know a lot of launchers add that, but I hate the setup process that launchers really require of you. I don't have the patience for that, quite frankly. So I like for it to do it for me. This also accepts gestures that you can enable. I do two-finger swipe up for Google Now, which is, come on, you got to show this to the audience. This is not happening. There, it just works. Pretend that didn't happen.
We'll edit that out. It's okay.
We'll edit that out. We'll edit that out. So yeah, that's Eevee Launcher. And it's on 2.0 right now, and it's made by Android lovers. So
They love Android, I've heard.
I do. I will admit there was a little bit of a bug that you may have seen there, those of you watching the stream, with the little clear area. There was a little clear area when you go into portrait mode. Eh. I'm going to show it to Jason right now real quick. When the keyboard comes up, the Google keyboard, the Gboard, it like leaves this. I'm trying to figure out how to fix this right now. So there's a little bug. But
okay. It's developing.
Vote for the bug.
Sometimes...
You know what? This is a really good launcher. And actually, if you want to read the full review on it, I'm just going to go ahead and plug it here. My colleague, Ara Wagner, just wrote the review for EV Launcher at androidcentral.com. So you can read it there.
Excellent.
Nice.
So that you can get more context outside of what I may have offered you today.
And that's EVIE. EVIE. EV Launcher.
Like the Pokemon?
Is it?
Is it like the Pokemon?
Well, EVIE's EEVEE.
It's not like the Pokemon. Oh, even Brian, he was like, yeah. And then, good job, Flo.
Anyways.
Yes.
I have a small Eevee.
All right, so that's Eevee Launcher in the Play Store. Ron, you're up next. I have it installed. I can show it off while you talk about it.
Yes, so this is a quick little app that we all know that volume control has been an issue with Android. It seems like forever. I think with Marshmallow, we finally got access to separating out our media volume from our call volume to our ringer volume. But did you know that those are just three volumes that you can control on Android out of a total of seven? And I think that's right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 volumes on your phone that you don't have control via the OS on. And this app, Volume Notification, allows you to do that. This works with all versions of Android. It's got some quick settings tiles for Nougat. But as you can see here in Jason showing off the app, when you open it up, you can arrange the volumes that you would like to have access to, right? And you can turn them on and off. So if you tap tap alarm volume, you can turn that back on. And we're just going to turn them all on. So what we've got is we've already got media volume, call volume, ring volume. We're going to turn on alarm volume. We're going to turn on notification volume, system volume, and Bluetooth volume. If you have a Bluetooth speaker, this one is key and amazing. So now if you go back, just go to the home screen, Jason. If you just go there and just swipe down on your phone, you will see the notifications. You will see a notification bar that exposes all of the ones you've turned on. If you tap on the Bluetooth one at the very far on the right, Jason, if you tap that, it will give you your Bluetooth volume control right there to control. Look at that. So you can turn them on and off as you want, as you need, as you want. It give you the level of control that you wish you had. You have alarms only, so it doesn't do that there. So now also, if you're a Nougat, if you swipe down furthermore, Jason, into the notification pane. There you go. And you can edit your notification pane. Hit the pencil on top. And now to drag to add tiles, you can expose all of these volumes via quick settings tiles. So that's a nice little addition as well, too, for you Nougat users. So there it is, volume notification. That's all it does. If you go into the settings in the app, there's some other behaviors that you see you can control. If you go back to the app, Vanna.
We're all chuckling over here, by the way. Jason's Vanna White on screen right now.
Upper right-hand corner, go back.
Okay, yeah. That's
and hit the hamburger menu settings. So in addition to that, you can toggle mute and toggle silent up top, Jason. Scroll. Yeah, you see there? You can turn them on and off. You can also change the appearance of the notification pane if you want it to be you want to go back to hollow light or hollow dark. You could do that. Or you can do a custom theme, which is nice. You can also choose a translucent background if that fits with your launcher. And then also that's not a good idea. Yeah. Turn off translucent. There we go. And then under notification settings there's a whole bunch of stuff here where you can control it, where you can turn off that notification window. If you're a Nougat, let's say you just want the quick setting tile, see it goes away. You can have this start at boot or not start at boot. You can make it at the top priority to appear at the top of your notifications. You can hide this from your lock screen, or you can even hide the status bar icon, which is cool too. So, so there it is. Volume notification, a very handy app that gives you more control over your device and works on, I think, Android 4.1 and up. So there you go.
Excellent. Volume notification. It's volume on steroids. If volumes could take steroids, this is what you'd get. Tony, you are up next.
All right.
What do you have, sir?
So let me just turn this down real quick. Was a few weeks ago you guys had talked about Super Mario Run?
We did.
Yeah. I decided to do another runner. It's not an endless runner, but this is Chameleon Run. And just give you the Oh, here we go. The basic gist of it. You're just a little guy, and you're running on these platforms here. Now, these platforms are color-coordinated, so you have to match your color.
Ooh, these graphics.
By switching. The music's really cool. So you jump by hitting the right side, and you switch your color by hitting the left side.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So essentially, what's really nice about it, too, is that it gets harder and harder as you go, obviously. And I'm not doing very well right now.
It's hard to talk
even
and play
though
at the same time.
Yeah. I practiced last night. This is really embarrassing.
Did you practice while talking about it?
I practiced not while talking about it.
So.
Different world.
This is it's $2, but you can actually get a lot out of it. Minus $10 from Super Mario Run.
Right.
And there's actually two different levels. I have yet to unlock the second level. But I've been playing this like I don't know every
wow I know
like every hour like while I'm waiting for edits to go through. So as you can see, the music's really cool, the graphics are really nice, and it is a great time saver.
Yeah. So you had that.
I had it, but that's Chameleon Run. It's right now it's only $1.99 unless you got it for free, because Google has that free app.
It does.
I won't lie. I did get that as the free app of that week, or what is it, every month that they're doing it?
I think it's weekly.
Okay. Yeah, so I did get it that week, but it's been a lot of fun. Because I did try, Mario Run, and I got bored with that really
quickly.
Did
you get a refund?
I didn't pay for anything. I got bored with the first few
within
levels.
Within the first few levels.
Yeah, I know the other levels get harder and more intricate, and I appreciate that, but for me to have to pay $5-$10 for that, I just didn't feel that it was worth my money. And even if I did pay $2 for this, within the first like three levels, I got my brain's worth out of it. So Chameleon Run, go vote for that, because colors are awesome. And
colors are awesome.
Colors are awesome. Thank God for colors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Especially the color green.
And we apologize to anybody who's colorblind.
Yeah.
We do, actually, wholeheartedly. I'm really sorry about that. That was actually
that's true.
Bad.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So
we should go now.
All right, my app. So that's Chameleon Run. That's awesome. It looks like a fun game. I'll check that out. My app is called Libby.
Libby!
Libby! So do you have a library card account? If you have a library card, well, I do because I have kids and we go to the library all the time.
Good.
Maybe you don't have a library card. But if you do, you can go into Libby and you can enter in your library card and it'll tell you, see how I've done this. By the way, it supports multiple libraries.
Ooh.
You punch it in and it gives you access to your library's catalog of audiobooks and ebooks.
Mm-hmm. What?
Direct from the app. So you don't want to go to the library. You just want to like hang out on your couch and find an audiobook and check it out and then listen to it. You can now. And the app is designed really well. So, popular collections here. There's it's all interspersed, right? So there's ebooks and audiobooks throughout. Right now I'm looking at the Sonoma County Library, I think this is the Sonoma County Library that I've logged into here. So let's see. I'll go into nonfiction. It loads it up, listing 1,866 books and 1,546 audiobooks. This is a great way to these are free audiobooks that you can listen to. You check them out. You listen to the audiobook. You're done. You move on. You can see these are all ebooks. I can borrow the ebooks and basically that'll download it to my device for offline reading. If you find one that is an audiobook, like What the F, maybe we'll try something different. like Hungry Heart here.
That's a grocery store novel.
It is.
I don't know. It looks like it for me.
Looks like it could be. Crisis of Character. Whatever. You can see the little headphone call out on all of these. Or as I had done earlier, I was scanning through and on my shelf is Joan Rivers, The Life, Loves, Losses, and Liberation of Joan Rivers.
Is it a voice?
So you can see the interface here. I'll go ahead and play.
Prologue. She sat on the bed.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't know where that's going. But anyway, so you've got the whole interface here. You can drop bookmarks if you want. You can make a note on that bookmark. That's a 30-minute timeout. So if I wanted to fall asleep with it or with the book reading, it would turn off in 30 minutes and I wouldn't lose my place. You can speed up your playback of the audiobook. And I mean, it's free, man. Like you can scroll through. This is just a sample. I haven't checked it out yet, but it has samples that you can play through to see if you want to actually check out that audiobook or ebooks. The Chimp Paradox. Sure, let's go ahead and take a look at that. I'm going to read a sample here. And this is the mind management program something something. And you can flip through. You got your ebook, and you didn't pay anything for it because it's from your library. And you can borrow it, and then it'll borrow it. Here, I'm going to borrow this one. I don't even know if I'm going to read it, but I'm going to borrow it. 21 days. I'm borrowing it for 21 days. Chimp Paradox. I'm going to go ahead and borrow that, and it'll add it. Go to my shelf, and there we go. I can start reading. It's due in 21 days. I'm assuming I'll get like a notification when it's checked back.
I'm going to ask if you're going to get charged if you forget.
Oh, I can't eat. So in order for me to install and enter my library card in here, I had to pay fees.
Oh.
Close to $20 in fees because when we go to the library, my girls want to check out tons of books. We're not doing that anymore. We check out like 30 books at a time. And you know how we were gone a couple of weeks ago? We went to Toronto. Yeah, apparently they were due while we were gone.
Ooh.
Anyways, so this app cost me $20 to show you. Lesson learned. Anyways, so it's just, and it's got a really great interface. Like, it's not just like you're born like a boring like library, you know, created by your local library, you know, baseline design.
The libraries are becoming high tech, man.
They have to.
They've always been high tech.
They have to.
I worked at the library all through college and high school and everything, and yeah, they got to be cutting edge, and they are. I think we don't give libraries enough credit.
A lot of credit, yeah.
So it's just so cool, right? Like audiobooks and ebooks. Go ahead, check them out. 21 days, and then you put them back in. It taps right into the library card that you already have, and it's designed really well. There you go. And it supports multiple libraries. So if you have accounts for different libraries,
so I can use my San Francisco library card in that, even though I don't live in San Francisco anymore.
I'm guessing you could if you still have the card and an account that's active.
Yes, I do.
And it synchronizes all this stuff across devices. So if you have multiple devices, you can pick up another device and jump right into where you're
at. Librarians, always thinking about things.
I know.
It's very nice of them.
It's
how
called
do we treat them?
Libby! Libby!
From Overdrive.
That's right. bit.ly/AAAvote313 to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it EV Launcher? Is it Volume Notification? Is it Chameleon Run? Or is it Libby? I don't know why I feel like I need to say it that way, but it's
why not?
It works. It works for me. Place your vote and we'll check in on it next week.
Wait, I missed what did Brian vote for.
Yeah,
I missed
who did Brian
that
vote for?
I went for Libby.
Libby.
Yeah, I love the library here in Petaluma.
All right. Support your library, even if it's in the digital form. But that is it. That's all we got for you. Tony, always a pleasure getting you up.
Oh, it was a
thank
pleasure
you so much.
Yeah,
it's been
absolutely
fun.
Yeah.
Always love coming here.
Well, a lot of fun. What are you working on right now? What's your deal?
Lazy Tech TV has a couple of articles coming out the month of April, including Plex. I have a Plex article that I have to push out. So we're working on that. I've got other side projects. If you just look up like Lazy Tony on YouTube, you'll find like three different Lazy Tony's like channels that I have. So just
not lazy at all.
No, yeah. But that's the
quite prolific, yeah. Actually.
So it's been fun, been crazy. But hey. Keeps me going.
Yeah, right on. Excellent. Lazy Tech Tony on Twitter as well. Yeah. Right on. Always great. Flo, what are you working on? What's going on in your world? Anything you can tell people about?
You can read my works at androidcentral.com. And if you'd like to follow me on social media, I'm at o.flo on Twitter and Snapchat. Although recently, I've been really wondering what my relationship with Snapchat is like because there seems to be a mass exodus.
Oh, and that mass exodus happened months ago, Flo.
Well, now it's happening to me. Now it's happening to my Snapchat social circle. Like, even the actresses and the comedians that I have started following on Snapchat are like, I don't know, fam. I feel like IG stories is better. And then I'm like, no. And they're like, okay.
Really?
Maybe I'll stick around a little bit. And then they just leave.
Wow. So this is a big deal.
I don't know. I'm having a bit of a emotional.
The only people I follow on Snapchat are the ones that take advantage of the masks, the faces, but other than that, everyone else I just follow on for their IG stories. That's it.
Yep.
IG stories is where it's at, man. Yeah. Although Facebook stories can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. No one... Because I opened up the Facebook app when they launched that and I immediately closed it. I was like, that is a headache I do not need.
I get notifications for them. Like, why? I thought I turned that off. Oh, gosh.
Have you seen all the jokes that were going on Twitter when that happened, when Facebook launched stories? And they're like, you know, and basically rolling out stories across every product, like Slack stories and Excel stories and you know,
Flow stories.
Like, yeah, everybody's adding stories to their app, and it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. It works in some places, not everywhere, but
no. Wow. Well, I've missed that boat entirely, apparently.
Yep.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult
for me. I've been cutting back on my social media.
I know, and I generally, in fact, because of your cutting back, I'm not on Facebook as much because now I don't have like any, like.
Because she was only on Facebook just to read your updates, Jason. That was what you didn't realize.
There was also a mass exodus from Facebook after the election, and you know, I miss some people on there, but that's why I don't check it as much anymore.
Yeah. Yep. Crazy world.
Ron, wow, what a downer.
I know.
Yeah, let me try to pick things back up with fun things.
Like, how about you?
Fun podcasts that are about life and living, and you could listen to them over at ifanboy.com every week. Me and my two of my best friends in the world are talking about comic books every week, and you can hear the love as we just do the same podcast we've been doing for 12 years. But also, we recently did a special edition podcast about T2 Trainspotting, which is up to this point my favorite movie of the year. So you can go check that out at ifanboy.com. And then, of course, my other podcast with Tom Merritt, another one of my favorite people in the world, Damn Fine Podcast at damnfinepodcast.com, where we're talking about Twin Peaks. And in fact, one Mr. Brian Burnett is going to be coming on soon. In fact, we're recording with him this week, and that will be out later this month. We are moving to it.
Was Brian aware of this?
I'm totally prepared. I'm all caught up on the podcast and have learned about Ron's rage for James. So,
James is the worst. but you'll be able to hear Brian on Damn Fine Podcast sooner than you think, because as of next week, we're moving to two episodes a week so that we finish everything before season three starts in May. So we're going to be a bi-weekly podcast. Yeah, so that's going to be fun. I realize I have a lot of editing to do this week. There you go.
I say it out loud.
Ramp it up.
And follow me on social media at RonXO. That's
excellent.
Me.
All right. How about you, Brian?
Well, I'm existing over here in the abyss right now, but on Thursdays I do a show with Padre, Know How, and you know, keeping the energy up, keeping the positive attitude. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's mostly like hippo GIFs and corgi GIFs. So, if you're feeling down. Yeah.
You see, that's the thing, is that like Flo and Jason, you're talking about being down on social media. I feel like me and Brian get it right in that it's just for nonsense. Just post nonsense.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. I need to tweak my strategy. I need to strategize how I use social media. with hippos, actually, because that was really cool. It almost doesn't look real.
Maybe it isn't. Follow me to know more.
You can find me at jasonhowell.net or yellowgoldmusic.com. They both point to the same thing. And that's it for this week. We always appreciate you coming around. Voicemail 347 show AAA, as if you like just walked in the room. We're like, hey, you came around. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Also video mail to AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. Reddit, twitaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Drew a heart.